Good morning, good day, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is DJ Spatz on Radio Sport at radiosport.online on the 12th of April 2021. This is Daily Sports News.
So slashed and torn.
Under pressure. Many golfers must have felt under enormous pressure to perform at the most important tournament in the world's golf, that is Augusta National Masters Tournament, just completed last night. It was a different Augusta. It was a different Augusta from the one in November when we did not have azaleas blossoming. We had some softer conditions in November, and Dustin Johnson managed to score well under 20 in the whole tournament. So it looked like the course was defenseless at that time. In April, though, Augusta National is firm. The greens are tough. The ball coming onto the green does not really stay there for long. Usually it rolls back or rolls forward, and it's very difficult to control the ball. There were quite a few favorites, of course, before the tournament. Dustin Johnson, he was destined to perform well after such a brilliant display in November, although coming into this tournament, he wasn't in such a great form. Rory McIlroy, certainly pressure was on him to win Masters, which is the only Grand Slam, only major tournament that he does not have in his pocket. This, if he won, this would have completed a Grand Slam for this Northern Irish golfer. Bryson DeChambeau, before the Masters even started, he talked about overpowering the course, which obviously was met with some disbelief but also fear from the Augusta organizers, because this is a technical course, and to see that technical course being overpowered by someone who can drive over 350 yards, that would have probably meant that we are losing something. This is supposed to be an artist course, a course where the golfers with imagination, with soft touch, those are the ones who are supposed to be winning here. On Thursday, the course was playing tough conditions, and some golfers couldn't really get over this situation where the balls were just rolling off the green. One of those was Bryson DeChambeau, who scored only plus four. Similarly, Rory McIlroy couldn't really handle the course on Thursday, plus four as well. Dustin Johnson wasn't performing that well, but who was? Justin Rose. That is the golfer who chose a totally different method for preparation to this year's Masters. He didn't play many tournaments. He was reviewing in his head how he was going to play at the Masters, and it seemed to have worked. He scored minus seven under par. That gave him a four-shot lead over the rest of the field, but that was just the beginning. It's very difficult to continue performing well at such a great golf course. On Friday, the conditions seemed to have been a little easier for the golfers, so some of the players were making a run up the leaderboard, but Justin Rose just couldn't handle it. He started badly, but managed to reverse the course on the back nine and finished with a minus seven score, still at the leaderboard. At the top of the leaderboard. That meant that on Saturday, Justin Rose was playing alongside Will Zalatoris. This is the player, Californian, who about 2 years ago was still about 2,000 ranked in the world, and was playing in the Lowly Kerry Corn Ferry Tour. This is the second division of the golfing world in the US. But this year, he made some inroads. He won the tournament and got an invitation to the Masters tournament, and was playing pretty well alongside Justin Rose. And everything changed with thunderstorm about 4 p.m. on Saturday, on the moving day. The play was suspended due to inclement weather. After an hour and a bit, the golfers came back, and Hideki Matsuyama, this is the Japanese hero, he's a hero in his own country, a country of 120 plus million people with 12 million golfers. He's a hero even though he hasn't won a major tournament as yet. There were no Japanese media allowed on the compound at Augusta National, and perhaps that is the reason why Hideki Matsuyama didn't feel that much pressure on Saturday. During that break of 1 hour and a bit, due to that inclement weather, he was just playing games on his mobile phone and came back storming. Literally, he was 6 under in his 8 holes that were remaining for his round, and he scored 11 under par, a 4-shot lead going into Sunday. Now, talk about pressure. By now, Hideki Matsuyama had on his shoulders the weight of the pressure of expectations of the whole 126 million of Japanese, for whom there was never a male Japanese golfer who would have won a major tournament. Nor Asian, for that matter, has ever won a major tournament, or not major, a Masters tournament. So he would be the first male Japanese golfer to win a major and the first Asian player to win Masters tournament. Talk about pressure, talk about expectations. So on Sunday, all eyes were on Hideki Matsuyama. His first drive went into the bushes. And some of the commentators were already saying, here we go again, because Hideki Matsuyama is not known for handling the pressure well, but then he stabilized. The front nine on Augusta National is regarded as some of the nine toughest holes on earth, but he was handling the pressure well. After a bogey on the first one, when he put the ball into the bushes, he managed to get a birdie on the second one. Then he did some magic around greens on the third, on the fourth, on the fifth, on the sixth, and then by the ninth hole, he was already 13 under par and opened a 5-shot lead over the competition. Will Zalatoris started the tournament really well, and after two holes, he was already just one behind Matsuyama, who bogeyed the first hole. It looked for a long time as if Will Zalatoris, rookie, for the first time competing in Masters, that he would provide the biggest challenge to Hideki Matsuyama and the expectations of the all Japanese people. But it wasn't to be. Will Zalatoris didn't play well initially on the back nine, but Xander Schauffele did. This is the imminent or the ever-present runner-up. Xander Schauffele, after winning a tournament, had a number of runner-up finishes. And this time, again, Xander Schauffele seemed to have been cracking under pressure initially. But then he had a run of a number of birdies, and by the hole 16, it looked as if Xander Schauffele would provide the biggest challenge to Hideki Matsuyama. However, yet again, Xander Schauffele couldn't handle pressure on 16th hole, which has got water all over the place. He put the ball into the water, then in the bunker, and finished a par 3 with 6 shots, 3 shots lost on that hole alone, and that meant a highway for Hideki Matsuyama to his first major victory. Hideki Matsuyama only needed to get a bogey on the last hole to be able to wear the green jacket at the Masters, which he duly did. He managed to get a bogey on 18th hole and won by just one shot, because Will Zalatoris, of all people, came back and managed to get a birdie on the 17th hole, and that meant that the win of Hideki Matsuyama was just one shot. Japan, the whole Japan erupted in elation. Obviously, the tournament started yesterday at about 2 p.m. 2:40 was the tea time for Hideki Matsuyama. 2:40, that meant about 3:40 a.m. Japanese time. So the whole Japan was watching their hero early morning. I'm sure there are a number of people that were late to work, but their bosses will be lenient on them, because it doesn't happen every day that a Japanese golfer in a country that is crazy with golf gets not only the first major for Japan, but also the most coveted major, which is the Masters tournament, the major of them all. Hideki Matsuyama is the new champion, the new jacket, green jacket holder, and he gets a invitation, a lifetime invitation to the Masters tournament. So the Japanese cameraman, Japanese media will be able to follow him forever at the Masters. Their hero, Hideki Matsuyama, 10 under, wins Masters tournament. Will Zalatoris, a rookie, got to second place with 9 under. Jordan Spieth, who everybody thought that he could make a run after winning Valero Texas Open last week, he was decent. He got to the third place with minus 7, even though at some point he was on 3 under only, but managed to get 4 shots back towards the end. Xander Schauffele, 3rd place, minus 7. John Rahm, who started early yesterday, got a round of the day, 66, that got him to the 5th place, together with Mark Leishman. Justin Rose, who was leading after 1st round, 2nd round, and even 3rd round, not 3rd round, 3rd round was the lead owned by Hideki Matsuyama. Justin Rose got back to minus 5 with a 74. Obviously not a performance that he would have liked, but he had some technical issues. Patrick Reed, he was tied 8 with Corey Connors. So we've got the new winner, new hero for Japan. He has already been really big in Japan, being followed by all the media, by all the cameramen. Now it's going to be madness. Alphaville and big in Japan, Hideki Matsuyama wins Masters Tournament in Augusta National in Georgia in the United States of America. Alphaville, big in Japan. Hideki Matsuyama has already been big, but But now he got himself into history books. He will forever be written as the major champion of Masters. This is obviously a good news for golf, for the game, for the interest. Golf was already big in Japan. It's going to be even bigger. There's going to be more money for PGA Tour, European Tour and Asian Tours. So golfers will certainly be happy. A lot has been happening in European football. Let's start our review with what's been happening over the on the continent on Saturday. Bayern Munich surprisingly got only a draw against Union Berlin. They scored a goal in the 68th minute through Jamal Musiala, being assisted by whom else but Thomas Müller. Thomas Müller passed the ball to Jamal Musiala and 1-0 Bayern. But 86th minute they concede an equalizer through Marcus Ingvartsen. Union Berlin managed to get a rare draw against the Bundesliga champions. So Bayern Munich, that lead at the top of Bundesliga was cut because Leipzig, they beat Werder Bremen away 4-1. In a game with Champions League implications, Eintracht Frankfurt beat VfL Wolfsburg 4-3 in a very energetic and eventful game. They are now just 1 point behind Wolfsburg on 53 points in the fourth place. Borussia Dortmund avenged their recent loss, this time beating Stuttgart 3-2. Jude Bellingham scored his first Bundesliga goal, and another teenager, Ansgar Knauf, scored a goal. That was his first professional goal. He scored a goal in the 80th minute, Borussia Dortmund beating VfB Stuttgart. Paris Saint-Germain continues their good form with Kylian Mbappé, who completed a remarkable week by scoring one goal and setting up another. Paris Saint-Germain beat Racing Strasbourg 4-1 and reduced the lead of Lille at the top of Ligue 1 to just 3 points. The France striker who netted a double in the Paris Saint-Germain win against Bayern Munich earlier in the week was pivotal in their win against Strasbourg this time as well. Milan in Serie A beat Parma 3-1, but lost Zlatan Ibrahimovic to a red card. A rare red card for Ibrahimovic, apparently for trash talking to a referee. Milan still successful 3-1, but they had to do that with one man down, with just 10 people against Parma. But Saturday was all about El Clasico, Real Madrid and Barcelona in a different situation for them. Usually this is a competition between number 1 and number 2 in the league, but this year Atletico Madrid occupies the first spot, so they are in position 2, Barcelona and Real Madrid, respectively, coming to this game. Karim Benzema scored early on the 13th minute, and then Toni Kroos from a free kick with a double deflection got them to a 2-0 lead. It all looked all Real Madrid in the first half, but Barcelona made it interesting in the second half. They put an energetic display in the second half and got one back through the defender Oscar Mingueza in the 60th minute. What followed then was, as usual, very interesting and controversial for the El Clasico. There was a number of opportunities for Barcelona to score a goal towards the end, but none closer than the one when Martin Braithwaite was tumbled and appealed for a penalty, which Ronald Koeman regarded as completely clear, but the referee didn't even consult a VAR, or it seemed. But Barcelona kept pressing, and Ter Stegen, their goalkeeper, was in the penalty box. His shot was blocked, but Ilaix Moriba crushed the shot against the bar, and Alba then sent the ball just over the bar, and that meant the game finished with 2-1 score for Real Madrid. That put Real Madrid imminently on top of La Liga, because Atletico were playing their game only on a Sunday. Obviously, controversy with that potential penalty, which, as I mentioned, Ronald Koeman regarded as obvious. On Sunday, though, Atletico Madrid were playing against Real Betis, and they managed to get a draw, which extended, which put them back on top with just 1 point ahead of Real Madrid. This was a draw, but they had to pay a heavy price for this draw, losing Joao Felix to injury and Kieran Trippier to injury, which is adding to the absentee list, which is now containing Luis Suarez, Thomas Lemar, and Moussa Dembele. So Atletico Madrid, they are still on top of La Liga, but just 1 point ahead of Real Madrid, and with a number of injury problems for their team. In Italy, Internazionale, who are leading at the top of Serie A, managed to get a win against Cagliari, but it was a tough win. Matteo Darmian scored a goal, and this means that Internazionale are now 11 points ahead of their local rival Milan, and they are looking at winning a Scudetto for the first time in 11 years. But Cagliari were quite resilient in that game, and Internazionale had to fight really hard to get that 1-0 win. Juventus in Serie A continued their good form after beating Napoli during the week. This time Dejan Kulusevski set Juventus on the path to victory at home to Genoa, 3-1, although Gianluca Scamacca gave some scare to Juventus. Szczęsny was back in goal after being left out of the squad in their win against Napoli, and Gianluigi Buffon was in goal for that game. Atalanta climbed back to the top four after winning 3-2 against Fiorentina. Napoli enjoyed a 2-0 win at Sampdoria, so they're still fighting for that place in top four, which gives automatic qualification to the Champions League. So lots of things happening on the continent in the European football, both on Saturday and Sunday. El Clásico was a classic as usual. We have a song for Real Madrid fans who remind us that it would be foolish to not to think about them in the context of being the La Liga champions or Champions League for that matter. Piensa en mí, Luz Casal, about that particular issue.
Ya ves que venero tu imagen. imagen divina. Tu párvula boca que siento tan niña me enseñó a pecar. Piensa en mí cuando sufras, cuando llores también, piensa en mí cuando quieras. No la quiero para nada, para nada me sirve sin ti. Piensa en mí cuando sufras, cuando llores también, piensa en mí. Cuando quieras quitarme la vida, no la quiero para nada, para nada me sirve sin ti. Para nada me sirve sin ti.
Luz Casal, piensa en mí. Piensa en mí cuando sufras, cuando llores también. Piensa en mí. Think of me when you suffer. Think of me when you cry. Obviously, the fans of Real Madrid are not suffering or crying at the moment. They beat Barcelona in El Clásico. They just remind everyone that you need to keep Real Madrid in mind. Think of Real Madrid when you think about the potential winners of La Liga or potential winners of the Champions League. They are still both in both competitions. They're still in it. How about a Premier League? A number of interesting games were planned for the weekend. Everything started already on Friday when Fulham were beaten at home by Wolverhampton. That obviously is not helping in Fulham's fight for to avoid a relegation. Manchester City were playing early against Leeds United on Saturday. Manchester City obviously are waiting for their second leg of Champions League against Borussia Dortmund, and therefore they fielded not an optimal team against Leeds United, and this backfired. Stuart Dallas broke away on the 42nd minute. That gave Leeds United lead just before halftime. But Leeds United lost Liam Cooper, who received a red card for a clumsy challenge on Gabriel Jesus. So everything seemed to be set up for a comfortable Manchester City win, especially when they were playing against a 10-man opposition. But the chances were few and far between in the second half. Only in the 76th minute, Ferran Torres managed to get an equalizer. Then Guardiola managed to get some substitutions. Phil Foden got onto the field. More and more was happening at the front, although John Stones were mainly trying to dribble around Leeds United defenders for most of the time. But in the added time, Stuart Dallas broke away yet again, scored a goal, and Leeds United sensationally beat Manchester City. 2-1. That was really one of the very rare situations where Manchester City were beaten. They were only beaten the second time in the last 24 league outings. So a rare situation indeed. Does that mean that others have now got chances to challenge Manchester City, specifically Manchester United? It is possible, says Guardiola, because Manchester United can win out, but obviously their lead is quite substantial. So it's very unlikely that Manchester City will be challenged for the Premiership title. Therefore, their focus is now on the second leg in Champions League quarterfinal against Borussia Dortmund, where they hold a slim lead, 2-1 from their first leg. Then they will be travelling to Wembley to face Chelsea on Saturday in FA Cup semi-final. And the following week, they'll be fighting for Carabao Cup against Tottenham Hotspur. So a busy 2 weeks for Guardiola, but his priorities certainly are number one, Champions League, number two, obviously continue to get to the top of the Premier League, to win the Premier League. Obviously, they are well ahead. And then FA Cup and Carabao Cup, probably the fourth priority. Manchester City lost to Leeds United, a rare loss, but still in a good shape at the top of Premier League. Liverpool were playing against Aston Villa, trying to avenge their rare loss against that team about 6 months ago when they lost 7-2. This time, they were trailing through Ollie Watkins' goal by Aston Villa in the 43rd minute, but then Mohamed Salah equalized in the 57th minute, and Trent Alexander-Arnold, who was snubbed by not being selected to the England squad, he proved everyone wrong, scored a goal in the added time to give Liverpool a deserved win, I think 2-1. Crystal Palace were hosting Chelsea. Chelsea, who in the first quarterfinal in Sevilla against Porto managed to get a comfortable win, 2-0, and they will be traveling to Sevilla again for the home game against Porto. But they are in a really good position, so they can concentrate on Premier League and concentrate. They can concentrate also on avenging the loss against West Bromwich Albion's very surprising 2-5. This time, no surprises at Selhurst Park. Chelsea, with Havertz playing really well, and managed to beat Crystal Palace 4-1. Havertz scored already on the 8th minute. Christian Pulisic, one of the subs for Chelsea, was playing well as well. 2 for him in the 10th minute and 78th minute. And Kurt Zouma added another one, 4 for Chelsea. Thomas Tuchel was not really praising Kai Havertz yet. He was saying, we're not expecting him to be a leader of this team, but we expect him to play better and to utilize his chances in front of goal. So he felt it was too early to give some encouragement to Kai Havertz, who came over to Chelsea for 70 million from Bayer Leverkusen at the start of this season. So Chelsea Galaxy. Their challenge for the top four place is still ongoing. In other games yesterday, there was a matchup between the fourth place West Ham and third place Leicester City. West Ham, they made a habit of going ahead early, scoring three goals and then sometimes losing their advantage, as was the case against Arsenal. Then they managed to keep their score with 3-2 against Wolverhampton, but this time it was a similar story. Three goals against Leicester and then conceded 2 goals late. Brendan Rodgers, the coach of Leicester City, was quite unhappy that he couldn't field. He was bitterly disappointed. That's what he said, that he couldn't field James Maddison, Hamza Choudhury and Isaac Perez. He dropped them because of a breach of COVID-19 protocols. Rodgers took a dim view of the breach, which happened last weekend, and said that in this situation of pandemic, there are more important things than just football. And he was very unhappy that his players couldn't respect the COVID rules. The punishment was already served, and he will take them to Wembley for the game against Southampton in the semi-final of the FA Cup on a Sunday. But Leicester, being third place, obviously losing 3 points against West Ham, made Rodgers very unhappy. On the other side, David Moyes was obviously happy with Jesse Lingard's performance, who scored 2 goals again for West Ham. He's probably the best signing or on loan signing for West Ham in the history. But he was obviously unhappy that they keep conceding goals after 60 minutes. They're playing well for 60 minutes and then suddenly they revert to defense and they're losing goals, conceding goals. Still managed to get a win, still managed to get 3 points, and still they are well positioned in the league. Tottenham were hosting Man United last night and it all looked very well for Mourinho's side. Son scored a goal, it was 1-0. And then Cavani scored a goal, which was then disallowed, which was cancelled through VAR, where the referee determined that in the process of scoring the goal, Son, the Korean, was fouled by the Man United player, which made Solskjaer make quite a strange remark, saying that if his kid was conning in a way that Son did, he wouldn't feed him, he wouldn't give him food. That seemed to provoke a reaction from Jose Mourinho, who gave a tirade about not feeding his own children. He says that a father needs to even steal in order to feed his children, and that's what he would do. And the comments of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer were obviously inappropriate. Whatever that was, Solskjaer remarks probably were not the nicest ones. And he probably shouldn't have said that. Mourinho concentrated on those, whereas he should have really concentrated on the poor performance of Tottenham, who conceded 3 goals after being 1 goal up. He then said that we didn't deserve to lose, but 3 goals scored by Manchester United meant that Man United cut the deficit to Manchester City at the top of the Premier League table. Fred scored in the 57th minute, Edinson Cavani in the 79th, a brilliant header, and Solskjaer said that he was hoping Cavani would extend his contract with Manchester United, because the goals, like the one he scored against Tottenham, are something to be coveted, something to watch by the supporters of Man United, who will be back, obviously, at some point when the restrictions are lifted. Mason Greenwood scored a 3rd goal in the added time. Man United, Tottenham, 3-1. This means that, as I mentioned, Man United cut the deficit at the top of the Premier League table to Manchester City to just 11 points with one game in hand. Leicester is third on 56 points, West Ham fourth, 55, Chelsea fifth, 54, Liverpool sixth, 52, and then Tottenham on the seventh place, 49 points already, 6 points adrift, 6 points behind West Ham. There are more games to be played today. We have Brighton playing Everton. Everton obviously still can challenge for that top four place. West Bromwich Albion, who are fighting against relegation, will be playing against Southampton later tonight at 7 p.m. We'll see how Brighton obviously is fighting against relegation as well, but Everton, as I mentioned, will be trying to get into the top four with two games in hand. So things are happening at the Premier League, not in the right direction as far as Tottenham is concerned. They were leading 1-0 and they lost, they conceded three goals that I'm sure makes the Tottenham supporters very unhappy. And one of the Tottenham supporters is Adele, and we'll dedicate that song to Jose Mourinho to think this things over and perhaps get a better performance, especially in the Carabao Cup, which seems to be the only trophy that they can still be able to make this season. It seems that the top four is elusive. It will be very difficult for Tottenham to challenge for the top four place, especially if they continue playing like this. Adele and Rolling in the Deep.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your fish bare.
Yeah.
Adele in the song called Rolling in the Deep. Adele is a supporter of Tottenham. I'm sure she's unhappy about the performance of Tottenham against Manchester United last night. They need to get better. Mourinho needs to get better in order for the supporters to be happier, to enjoy the way Tottenham is playing. Let's move now across the pond to the United States, where NBA games were being played last night, and one of them was played at Mile High Stadium, or Mile High Court, of Denver Nuggets against Boston Celtics. Nikola Jokic had a good game, 17 points, scored 11 assists and 10 rebounds, triple-double for Nikola Jokic. Michael Porter Jr., 22 points, 11 rebounds, but that wasn't enough. They were playing well early, Denver, who are in good form recently, but in the fourth quarter, Boston Celtics went on a 15-0 run in the fourth quarter, as I mentioned, and Jaylen Brown scored 20 points, 3 assists, 8 assists. Jason Tatum, their star, 28 points, 2 assists and 10 rebounds. And then Kemba Walker, 14 points, 6 assists and 5 rebounds, and one-handed slam dunk, 105-87 for Boston. Boston, quite a nice win to get against a good Denver team. Milwaukee were traveling to Orlando to play against Orlando Magic, and they were leading pretty much all the way through. They were leading by 19 points after the first half, even though Giannis Antetokounmpo was out. But his brother was in. Thanasis scored 7 points, 1 assist and 5 rebounds. Chris Middleton, 21 points, 5 assists and 8 rebounds. That meant Milwaukee beat comprehensively Orlando Magic, who are now without Vucevic, who they traded to Chicago Bulls. 124 against 87. For Milwaukee Bucks. Mo Bamba scored 21 points and 5 rebounds for Orlando, but just wasn't enough. And Milwaukee continued their series of the run of 3 wins. Now that run is, that streak is 4 wins. In other games, last night, Atlanta beat Charlotte, New Orleans Pelicans beat Cleveland, Toronto lost against New York Knicks, San Antonio Spurs beat Dallas, Indiana Pacers were successful against Memphis, and Chicago Bulls lost against Minnesota, even with Vucevic. Detroit lost against Los Angeles Clippers, and Miami was successful against Portland Trail Blazers. That means that Milwaukee and Boston are now well positioned for seeding in the Eastern Conference after winning their games. In hockey, in National Hockey League, yesterday a number of games were being played. Sabres, Buffalo Sabres, a rare win for them, again against Philadelphia Flyers, 5-3. Let me remind you that Buffalo Sabres had a streak of 18 losses, and they broke that streak by beating Philadelphia Flyers. This time they beat them 5-3. Golden Knights beat Coyotes 1-0. Avalanche beat Ducks 4-1. Penguins, Devils 5-2. Islanders beat Rangers 3-2. And Washington Capitals beat Bruins 8-1. That's quite a substantial win. Predators beat Stars, and now Predators have already 4-point advantage over Chicago Blackhawks in the Central Conference, and they seem to be favorites to go to the playoffs at the expense of Chicago Blackhawks. Going back to the win of Milwaukee Bucks and Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who scored 7 points, we will dedicate him and his brother Giannis, who wasn't playing, he's injured for Milwaukee. We dedicate them Zorba the Greek, because obviously they are Greek basketball players.
Thank you.
Zoba the Greek for Giannis Antetokounmpo and Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who plays so well for Milwaukee Bucks. Let's take a look at the WTA tournament, which was being played at Charleston in the US. All upsets in quarterfinals. Putintseva lost to the Montenegrin Kovinic. Jaber of Tunisia beat Coco Gauff. And Ashley Barty, number one, was beaten by the Spanish Badosa. Kudermetova beat Sloane Stephens. So all upsets in the quarterfinals, and that's continued in the semifinals, where in the semifinals, Kovinic, the Montenegrin, beat Jaber of Tunisia, and Badosa was beaten by Kudermetova. In the final, Kudermetova overpowered Kovinic, and she was the one who won the tournament WTA in Charleston in the United States. So all upsets in this tournament, youngsters were playing well, youngsters were having fun, just like in Horace Andy's song Skylarking. Skylarking will be concluding today's edition of Daily Sports News on Radio Sport at radiosport.online. DJ Spazza says goodbye on the 12th of April 2021.
That's what you